Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is Thursday, June the 7th, and it's going to be a wise Thursday where Brother Davis is in queue, ready to go. So we just ask that you hold on for that. I won't be able to be on the show today, got to get ready for some clients and some seminars that we've got going on this weekend. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation with Brother Davis, then don't hesitate. Give him a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Just say, excuse me, Brother Davis will hear you, and bring you up for your questions and comments. Definitely want to do that. Also, please, everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the actual programs that are brought to you by this network. You can do that by going to the website and becoming a member through BTR Community, and also making donations to this platform via the donation button. Hit that, give a donation so this network can stay on air, because that's the only thing that's keeping it on air, and it's becoming more than what one person can bear, being Scotty. Scotty definitely needs your financial help in order to keep this network going. So please do that. Also, as I was saying, you can support the network by being a member in the social media platform known as BTR Community. And you can engage in all of your social media activities via BTR Community, and you can find it at www.btrcommunity. For only $24 a year, it gives you a membership and is a 30-day free trial period. With that membership, your first 30 days will be free, and then after then, you would actually give you $24 to remain as a member, and you would have a year subscription. A year membership, with that. And that supports this network. And actually, it's a great place for you to do that, because you can use the social media platform through BTR Community for, you know, for a way that definitely supports you, the network, and everyone that's a member. So please do that. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, you could do that through Prosperity Mint. Go to www.prosperitymint, check out what's in inventory there, then email info@prosperitymint, tell them that you're a Tando Radio Show listener, and someone will contact you. Very, very important that you do that step. It's for your benefit. Okay, all right, so with that being said, I'm going to jump into what's in the news and then get right into the show with Brother Davis. NQ, ready to go. And so today's show is Wise Thursday Insight with Brother Davis, and he has some great stuff for you. Definitely give him a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. The first article that I have posted for What's in the News came from RT International, Russia Today International. U.S. tariffs are economic sanctions in disguise, is what Putin said. So check out that article. U.S. tariffs and steel on steel and aluminum from the EU, Canada, and Mexico's are really economic sanctions, Russian Vladimir Putin said at his annual question and answers. Apparently, our partners, though they would never thought they would never be affected by such counterproductive policies related to restrictions and sanctions. However, we see now that that is happening. A lot of words there, read between the lines. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. It says we cannot defy the U.S. EU refineries curb purchases of Iranian oil. The decision has been taken by at least six major European companies importers, come amidst growing sanctions pressures from the U.S. following celebrity figurehead Donald Trump's withdrawal from the Iranian nuclear deal last month. And I said this is all a part of the ploy. Watch what's going to happen. It's going to change up. This is a disguise in jest for what's happening and how things are going to play out. Temporarily, that will be – it's just the case temporarily, because they have to say that because the effects on them are immediate. But believe me, they are all working in behind closed doors. This means that they're going to leave swift. Oh, man, that's going to be a major, major shocker and hurt. They're going to establish their own economic institutions that they don't have to be beholden to the U.S. That's going to have an ugly response. Next article I got from Oil Price Community. Koch brothers take on Trump over tariffs. U.S. powerful celebrity figurehead billionaire brothers Charles and David Koch are funding a multi-million dollar campaign against celebrity figurehead Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Check out that article. Next article from Press TV.
Hey, Dave, related news to that, one of them just retired due to poor health. That's all that was reported.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So, not my favorite group of folks anyhow. So yeah, so that it's a lot of them that have real malevolent agendas, and I definitely, you know, they play all sides of the fence, so as long as they get what they want, and that is, to in my overall opinion, to subjugate TV. Netanyahu fails to lobby May to stop backing the Iranian deal. Celebrity figurehead British Prime Minister Theresa May has reiterated her country's support for the Iranian deal in talks with her Israeli counterpart, Benjamin Netanyahu. Celebrity figurehead said, London would remain committed to its obligations under the multilateral accord as long as Tehran is obliging. Check out that article. Next article also from Sputnik News. Netanyahu says Assad no longer immune Israel to destroy Syrian forces if attacked, meaning they're going to attack them. This whole thing. So check out that article. Next article. This one comes from RT International. Very, very telling one. U.S. withdraws from missile treaty is attempt to destroy strategic parity. Celebrity figurehead Putin said Washington's withdrawal from the anti-ballistic missile treaty is an attempt to destroy strategic parity. Russian Vladimir Putin, celebrity figurehead, said today. Check out that article as well. Next article from oil prices. There's a lot of legs to this one. Oil kingdom in crisis. Saudi royal family rift turns violent. Saudi Arabia has plunged into its immediate region in a major strategical uncertainty. What can only be described as serious outbreaks of shooting in the royal palace in Riyadh on April the 21st of 2018. We talked about that, some of that there. A lot of movement there. MBS was allegedly reported to have been killed in that. But then they said he wasn't, but he was actually shot. And there's a bunch of different things going on from there because he just all of a sudden showed back up. So check out that. Next article from Press TV, very telling. Press TV, make Palestine kneel like Kim did. Celebrity figurehead Giuliani suggests. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani said North Korea leader Kim Jong-un got on his hands and knees and begged for a meeting with celebrity figurehead Trump. Similar policies towards Palestine should be taken. Of course. See, this is how you have fascist nationalist propaganda that becomes your overall way of life. And ridiculous. Check out that article. Next article from oilprice.com. Venezuela oil meltdown defies belief. Check out that article. One more from Press TV. Canada rejects Trump's bilateral trade proposal. And last one, major economic one from Bloomberg. Deutsche Bank pursues $3 billion energy portfolio sale. Deutsche Bank is seeking to sell its portfolio of non-investment grade energy loans worth about $3 billion, according to the people with knowledge of the matter. This is not good. This actually concerns. I'm not surprised that Deutsche Bank is having problems because Deutsche Bank is a German, one of the largest banks in the world, is out of Germany, and I believe it plays into a lot what's going on between the U.S. and Germany, and now this is a major signal that there is real problems, super, super problems there, and that's going to have some real legs. So that is what's in the news, and we're going to get to Brother Davis at any time. If you would like, you have a question and comment for Brother Davis, who is ready to go, just give him a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Tomorrow I have clients that I have to meet in preparation for this weekend's Legacy Wealth Management Seminar, so I won't be on air. Scotty may have to do a may want to do a show, or may play another one, or we get either Rise and Jenna to do something. I will ask them and see what's happening and get with Scotty to see what he wants to do. He may have something that he wants to do, but I won't be able to be on air tomorrow, but we'll be back on Monday. Much love. Oh, and then on Tuesday, I may actually be traveling, but I'll let you all know and we'll take it from there, but I definitely see you all on Monday. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Brother Davis, whenever you're ready to go, we are here.
Thank you, my brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Got you loud and clear.
Excellent. Good evening, brothers and sisters. I am honored, glad, and enjoying the fact that you're here. I had a lot on my plate lately. I missed some appointments and other appointments I had to make, and then my brother decided he wanted to get married, so I had to be there to do that, and that kind of changed a few things. I had to shake up some of those, but nevertheless, I'm here. And fortunately, last night, I went to one of the graduations of my grandbabies, and I'm going to tell you, it was eye-opening because of a number of things and a myriad of things. Let me repeat that. It was eye-opening because of a number of things and a myriad of things. One of the things that caught my attention was public school is not efficient by no means. And this education that they're giving our children today is completely confusing. Now, I don't know why a lot of parents are being subtle with their opinions. And listen, if you are in this situation, please give a call to the show. Because first thing I'm trying to do is unmask the problem. And the reason why it has to be unmasked is because people are living with it quietly. And it's expected. Now, I know some of you are probably saying, well, what do you mean it's expected? Well, the system knows that as long as they're in control, there's going to be a certain degree of submission. And that degree of submission is confusing to those who see the problem, but yet it's normal for those who do not want to confront the problem. Why do I say it's normal? Because education is considered to be a normal part of American society. But when you go to the public school, most of the children in public schools now are bilingual. So that means they've come from areas that really have not an understanding of formal education as those who have been brought up in the United States. Let me be very clear about that. Most of them do not have a formal understanding. And the reason why I say that is because, for instance, and delving into the academics that is considered required by the state, they have this thing called CORE. And there could be no greater ball of confusion when it comes to simple content. From math to reading. Oh, by the way, most schools have gotten rid of cursive writing. That should be an alarm. Why? Because most of the legal documents are written in cursive. If our children can't write it, they're surely not going to know how to read it. So to me, that was alarming. But what really got me, what really, really got me was this child literally asked her grandmother if she would homeschool her next year. Now, you have to take the whole scope of the dynamic. This child is going from 6th to 7th grade. And she's approaching on her graduation from this 6th elementary school, academia, to go into the middle school academia. And she is saying that it's just, this core is so confusing that I just can't find a comfort zone where I feel like I'm in control of what I'm learning. Yeah, keep in mind, we're talking about maybe she's 13, maybe she's 12, let me see, just 11. 11 going on 12. And she's intelligent enough to see this. So, naturally, I get into some conversation with other parents, and they are reluctant to say the very same thing. They are confused. Now, when I was in school, basic math was considered basic. 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 2 is 4, 4 and 4 is 6. It is not like that anymore. And this is why I'm bringing this to your attention, because if this is going on in that school, her school, which we consider to be an academically well-fed school, then this is going on all over. So if we have intelligent children that are confused and parents who are totally disconnected, I mean, literally, when you talk to some of these children, they cannot go to their parents and do homework like you may have once been able to do with your parents, because the system is so confusing that literally they have to jump through 5 hoops when only 2 is required. Now, let me repeat that. In the average subject content, especially in math, they are teaching our children to jump through 5 hoops when only 2 is required. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when I was in school, and I'm quite sure during your time too, you had what's called money change, where you gave a person, you bought an item that might have been $1.69, and you gave the person $2, or you might have given them $5, and they had to make change out of that. Common Core does not do that. Actually, when it was tried, when the person tried to explain it to me, I can understand why so many children are not only confused but frustrated. We have to be very careful now. Why do I say that? Is because this is our responsibility. And when we have given it an entrust to someone else, they are abusing that trust. And now our children are coming to us seeking solutions. And we have to be prepared to give them some meat and potatoes and the knowledge content so they can build on. And the reason why is because if we don't, who will? This system has given them an education that is designing them to follow instinct. Well, follow rules, not even instinct. This is the rules, you follow these. We were taught to be creative, maybe interlope three or four subjects to find a solution, okay? And the reason why was because we might have needed math to be able to determine the volume. We might have needed science to decide whether we could do it physically, or do we have to design a fulcrum or a lift. And we also incorporated the what they call general principle knowledge by taking the ability to look at a circumstance, analyze how you want to approach it, and come with a solution for the problem.
I have
they
a question.
They do not have that. Is there someone in queue?
Yes, there. Well, no one's in queue that wants to speak. Again, the telephone number 704-802-5056.
Excellent.
That's 704-802-5056. No, but I do have. I have a question. I want to contribute to the dialogue. So, as y'all say, it's not just a monologue. Now, when you're talking solutions to that problem you just described, you said you don't like the math curriculum. That what you came across was very confusing, and you know, I guess, is it confusing to the child, because children are being taught new ways, and I can understand teaching them more than one way to solve a problem using different types of math. That's kind of advanced for, well, I don't want to say what's advanced for somebody's child, but let's say I have a and I do help my grandson as well as his great grandmother. Do help them with all their homework, math included. I haven't come across anything like that here in North Carolina in the district of Gaston County. But my question to you is, are we talking about an individual solution for the children in our family, or are we talking about a solution for all the children in public schools, which is our community? And if we don't like the curriculum, what do we do to change it? Or are we just going to leave it as is and focus on educating our own children in other ways? Thank you.
Well, actually, Scotty, all of those are good positions. We need to get involved so that we can have some control over the academia being taught to our children in school. If the academia that is being taught to your children right now is functional for them, and it's operating in a manner in which they could be able to go out and incorporate it into their daily lives, then and that meets your need, that's fine. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is approaching education from a standpoint of causing more confusion than being able to establish a academic structure that they can build on. Let's take the caller in queue. And could you give us your name? And
there's no caller, Brother Davis. I'm sorry. I was saying that there was no caller. That was me wanting to chime in.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
No, yes. But listen, yeah, all of those points are very, very valid. And the reason why I say they're valid is because regardless of what is going on in one area, these states are coming with sweeping changes. And these changes, eventually, if they haven't gotten to your school yet, they will definitely get there. And the sad part about it is that these are purposeful changes that we literally are not being given a right to examine prior to being implemented in the schools. I mean, I'm quite sure you've heard about the sexual education they're given to fourth and fifth graders nowadays. They have nothing to do with their sexual content other than to indoctrinate them to get them to an understanding, or somewhat of an understanding, of what I would consider to be deviant behavior. And the reason why is because of the foundation that I came up with. But yet and still, I don't think that it's important for a child that is in a fourth or fifth grade to have a knowledge of what anal sex is or oral sex is. I don't think that serves them. I think that indoctrinates them. And the sad part about it is that I'm quite sure all of you have heard that this is being implemented in the educational system, like this is what they call common knowledge. No, these are the areas in which parents should have a right to be involved in this process. I don't personally think they even have a right to even expose these sort of subject matter and to that young age like it's academic content, when it is not academic content. It's personal choice. And we fail to realize that if we don't speak up, we become the victims of a system that has a preconceived design.
Brother David, so, Scotty again.
Yes.
How do we speak up? Is it through the government representatives at the federal level, the state level? Do we go to school board meetings? Do we, when they have public hearings and raise these concerns, how do you imagine people speaking up? Thank you.
Okay, all of the above. Plus, we need to organize on a level in which we can get our voices heard. They are taking the parents' rights and completely out of education. And that has never been a principal part of the education system. That's why they had the so-called parent-teachers organizations. Back then, when I was coming up, it was called the PTA. But that meant that the parents came in, they had an organized group of themselves in order to approach this kind of subject matter. And the sad part about it is that during that time, it was the parents' responsibility of having a child educated to be involved in these processes. Nowadays, and I have heard this, and I haven't been to any meetings lately, when my kids were in school, I was at all of them. Either myself or my wife, we were at all of them, because this literally gave us the inside track on what they were learning. But we're in a generation of children now whose parents are not as, should I say, demanding responsibly to the education of their children. And a lot of them are so caught up in the system of, should I say, the perpetual programming, meaning that they're trying to meet the time clock at work, they're trying to meet the criteria of bills, they're trying to set a so-called lifestyle. When I was coming up, there was never anything to have to do with so-called societal changes, meaning the take for instance shows that come on. You got shows that come on now, New Edition and Inside Edition and that sort of thing. These are magazine shows that bring topics about trends into your home. Have you watched ABC or Good Morning America? That's nothing but a show on trends. The reason why I know is because this morning, by chance, I put ABC on my cell phone, and I listened to it, and I said to my wife, I called her up, I said, you know, there's no news no more. She said, well, there is on CBS. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, ABC does trending and that sort of thing, and a lot of the channels are moving into that so-called infotainment. Well, it's not information. See, we came up in a time of information. These children are coming up in a time of infotainment, and we have to be able to help them to decipher what the difference is. Or they're going to think that what they're getting is stuff that is knowledgeable that a lot of it doesn't even, we don't even need to know about. They're doing that so that they can literally put something before us to keep us from watching what they're doing. And that's exactly what's happening with the academic system. And if it hasn't gotten to you yet, wherever you are, it's only a matter of time. Another thing I noticed was the influx of the different ethnic groups. I mean, there's a lot of the Puerto Ricans from Puerto Rico here who do not speak English, which is confusing to a lot of the English-speaking students. Why? Because it was okay when there was one or two in their class, but when half of the class is speaking Spanish and the other half of the class is speaking English, there's an innate disconnect involved. Now, if they were teaching both Spanish to the English speakers and English to the Spanish speakers, it's altogether different. But those are what they call electives, and they're not mandatory. And here's the catch. In the future, if you do not have a dual language aptitude, you literally cross yourself out of a certain degree of the market. And I mean, as it stands right now, most of the people who are being hired in customer service positions, a lot of them are Latino because they're bilanguage. A lot of them are bilanguage people. Let me make that very clear, because I don't want people to think I'm pointing out any one group at all. But you understand once again that it's a need in the future that this educational system is not helping to meet.
Hey, Brother David, quick interjection, yes, on the call center. A lot of call center work, and I used to work in a call center for Sprint, but a lot of call center work, it used to be going overseas to India, and a few companies still use them over there. But increasingly, they do what's called insourcing. Instead of outsourcing outside the country, they insource it to prisons. Some prisons have call centers built, new prisons being built, call centers built right into them. And also, you know, if these are bilingual speakers and they're in prison, they're probably in an immigration detention facility run by the GEO Group or Core Civic. So there's that aspect of slavery.
So actually, they're still being utilized even in the area of detention. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
See, so once again, our children that are not being equipped to do the things that are going to be needed in the future, they're actually being, those jobs would ordinarily have if they weren't sourced into a private system, are no longer available to them. And here's the catch-22, the caveat of it all. Even if it's sourced into the private system, those who take on those positions and do those jobs cannot put that on a resume. When they come out, they go back into a status in America of excelling or whatever it is they were in for. And they can't, oh yeah, well I was there and I did customer service and I speak dual languages, and they can't put this on the resume. You know why? Because these so-called companies, GEO Group and so forth, they don't want you to know that they're profiting off of that prison labor, and they're profiting big. But once again, that goes into another area, but we have to understand this. Until we become a greater part of the solution, there'll be no solution. Until we attack those very boards that are put up, the way people run for school boards, we got to scrutinize these people. Because these people, literally, a lot of them are only taking that job for a paycheck. Why? Because there's already a system in place. All they got to do, and when they get in there, they're told that. Just operate according to the system. The system's already designed. But here's what they're not telling you. The system is not designed for your success. The system is designed to keep those in power in power. That's it. There is no specific area in which you're going to, as a mass group in a classroom, learn so that you can evolve to a greater level. When you see different things like a child getting 15 scholarships and $10,000 or $10 million for education, these are the exceptions. These are parents of these children who took that role at a very early age to help that develop that child to develop on that level. But most parents are not like that. Most parents are not as involved with their child's education as they are with their jobs. You know why? Because the principals in the United States teaches value based on dollars. And they don't tell you that dollars are just tools. The reason why they don't tell you that is because then you would look at it that way and operate with it differently. And the reason why they don't want you to operate with it differently is because then some will have enough insight to be able to learn to use the tool to their advantage. And if they taught that, then the whole system would be under attack, because those people who learn to use the tool to their advantage will gain and teach, and therefore that concept would expand. They do not want that to go down. So it is our responsibility,
Brother Davis,
lead role in assuring our child that we want the best for them by participating in the process on whatever level it is. So if you see there's people running for office, you should have candidate nights. You should sit down with these people on these candidate nights. And I'm not talking one-on-one. I'm talking about 200, 300, 400 strong, so that you can have your questions correlated so that the answers can be suitable for the people who come to make the selection of that next round of educators. Because whether you know it or not, a school superintendent makes 6 figures a year. That's a lot of cash. And the reason why he makes 6 figures a year is because literally he has leverage over a lot of contracts to come into the educational form. So he has a lot of power. And a lot of times that power is already issued according to a standard. You see, that's why you have things like Agenda 21. When they initiated Agenda 21, they didn't just initiate it on one level. They initiated it on 10 or 11 different levels. Education, environmental, municipality, size of municipality, rural and inner city, urban, and see, they break it down like this. And the reason why they do that is because they doing this in a sweep, and they want to have control in the outcome of that. But the reason why they get it is because of the lack of participation of people who live in those areas that don't see the importance of going and seeing who is running for simple offices, like the commissioners. Who's running for the commission of the county seat? How are they connected? Who's running for the DA? How are they connected? Are they out of the community, or were they bought in? Because, see, when a person comes in to a community, gets a property, and then runs for office, that's carpetbagging. What does carpetbagging mean? That means that they have a facility in that district solely to run for office. You've seen Hillary Clinton do it in New York. In the political realm, they do this all the time. This is common knowledge. But yet, when we were coming up, and I keep going back to that because I'm trying to get you to understand the dynamic here. When we were coming up, we literally participated in it because our parents were taught the responsibility to do so, okay? Now, during that course of time, the cities, the states, and every other area was being hit hard by drugs, which the byproduct of those drugs literally left us inundated with a number of other problems. One of them at that time that were major was teen pregnancy. So therefore, it isn't what it used to be, but it's still a problem today. But those teens that were having babies were not as mature as their parents were when they had children. They weren't taught the responsibilities that is required on personal initiative when it comes to your children. So to a lot of them, it's like, okay, baby, you go catch the bus. Mama got to go to work. Okay, baby, you catch the bus. Daddy got to go to work. Or daddy will pick you up at 3 o'clock because he'll drop you off at home, make yourself need to mommy be in at 5 o'clock because I got to go to my job at 6 o'clock. These are the programs of which we're really lacing ourselves into, and we are losing who we are. this is why it's so important that we understand what are we going to teach our children.
I have a question, Brother
Davis.
You see,
when we came along, and I keep going back to this because I want you to understand the difference.
Brother
Davis.
When
we came along, yes, Brother Scotty.
Yeah, question, because we come back to it again when you say the breakdown of the family, but and the breakdown of the community, but I want to look inwardly. Because I think about my community and I hear these things that's being described and I don't see these things. And so what's the difference between the community I have lived in the majority of my life and what I see in the people here? What's different? What might be causing these other people in other areas to become susceptible to this breakdown of the family? So I think some of it might be because we broke our own communities down by too many of us leaving our roots, whether we were down south. And I understand the different migration patterns over the years of black people in the United States, and for the reasons like why my mom moved to Detroit in 65 and why my uncle went the year before then. They were going for jobs, okay? But they always kept, we came back, my mom came back. And what I see is, like, for example, my daughter had her senior year got pregnant with my first grandson, okay? What was the difference? Well, she not only had me, the grandfather, she had the great-grandmother, my mother, she had her own mother, she had aunts, she had uncles, and so, you know, people willing to help. How could she do the homework with him and she got to go to work? You know what I'm saying? Or go to school or what have you. But so he, and even now, you know, with her schedule and many of these people who don't live around family, they don't have people they could trust like that, that they could lead to their children, lead their children or teach them this. I mean, some might have babysitters that do the homework too with them, but I think it's largely due to breakdown in family because of we move away or we aren't surrounded by family members and relatives that we've known for like our entire lives or 20, 30, 40 years. In a community situation like that, because you know that's how it used to be. We used to didn't put our parents in rest homes, as they try to call them. You know, other people call them old people homes. Some, unless it was absolutely necessary, but most of the old people in this community die at home. So what they tell you? So that's my question is. Do we, if we're in a situation where, like, say I'm in an apartment building and I don't know, well, you know, oh, how do you make those connections? Because that's the only way you're going to solve it. You're going to have to pitch in. Like, my cousin lived about a half a mile down the road, and her girl was same age as my girl. They all in high school, but they don't have a computer. So she come up here to get on the internet and do the computer to do research for whatever her high school project was, and it kind of, you know, it was unexpected, and it felt good though. But when my cousin, she was like my second cousin actually, is celebrating her daughter's graduation from high school and sharing the pictures, and I told her congratulations, and she told me I helped too, because I let her come up here and use the computer. I also picked her up along with my other daughters at different, you know, events surrounding the school. So she thanked me, you know, like I lived in her household and I contributed to that child graduating. So your comments on that, how much of it is breakdown and can we reestablish those connections even without family members?
Got it. Great point. And you know what? That is quintessential to the need. Why? Because you just took a little personal initiative, and yet it made a great difference in what you was trying to achieve. You see, we have to stop separating ourselves from what we're trying to do collectively. That is why it worked for you, because collectively, you all seen where you could have an opportunity to make a contribution. It might not have been as big a contribution as you thought until she made clear that although the contribution you made, you might have seen to be small, it had a great effect on the outcome. You see, we have to understand that we are the community. If you live in that community, I don't care where it's at, you have a responsibility to go out and at least try to involve yourself in projects that make a difference in the community. And see, in the situation with the girls that you just talked about, because those people involved in her life that were there, who happened to be family in most cases, were got made that attempt with her, helped her find success. We are going to have to correlate ourselves and bring to the table, we are weak and we are strong, and how we can put a plan together so that we can literally strengthen where we're weak and that we can provide more of where we're strong. Now, I know there's a whole lot of different elements in society today that were not there then, but we still have these problems today. And we're going to have to sort out those elements in order to get to the fruit. And that's not unusual. How many people go to a grocery store and they pick over fruit until they find what they want? And this is what we're going to have to do, because guess what is being done to us? Anytime you get on that Facebook or any of that other media stuff, unless you're with a select group like RTB, then BTR, literally, your information is being correlated. And everything you do is being literally analyzed, and it's being sold to those people who are willing to pay for it. And you know what that's called? That's called shystery, because you're on the media doing one thing, not knowing that you're being victimized by another. We are going to have to coordinate our attack. What do I mean by that? All communities are going to have to place value on their children and not on the dollar. You see, one of the reasons why the system is where it's at today is because they have pushed meters on us. Meters for our money, meters for our time, meters for our television. And we fall victim to these meters, not realizing there are other options. Do you realize when it comes to something as simple as a car, that now they're starting to think, well, maybe we ought to put more time in electric cars? The only reason why they weren't was because they couldn't put a meter on the sun. The only reason why Tesla's project, that literally would have bought free energy to the world, was squelched was because they could not get paid from it. And this is why the system literally puts us back in the same place every time, because they know what they're doing. People like the sister you helped, a lot of that was her personal initiative to even go out and convey her need to allow people to become a part of helping her meet this successful resolution. And see, a lot of people don't want to talk about their need because they think, oh, well, it's going to damage my ego. Well, right now, our children are the cost. And if we are not willing to go ahead and get involved in our communities so that we can have a decision-making factor, a part of this process, it doesn't make a difference what the individual does, because they can eliminate the individual's role, but they can't eliminate the role of a large group of people who are speaking in reference to the issues in their community and paying the tax dollars that require them to listen. Because believe me, if you weren't paying taxes, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen at all. And one of the reasons why they're doing this, what they're doing in public school, is because they want to transform the public school system into a charter school system. And guess what? It's happening on a very, you look around, it's happening on a very alarming rate. And these people that are coming in with a charter school system is based on what they do on the profit that they get. And they're given a better education because guess what? All they have to do is meet the state standard, but we can enhance that education process by giving them tools that will allow them or her or him to go out here and be ahead of the public school student because they don't have those tools. And these are the things that we have to literally go into our communities and see. A lot of times people fail to realize the importance of the census. Well, the census is there so that they can measure not only how many people are in the community and who you are, but on what level of income you are. They want to know because they want to control. We fail to realize the importance that the purpose plays. I'm not one to go out and say, okay, politics is a solution. Why? Because they've designed the system of politics. But I will say this, if they made voting machines that gave you a receipt, you would change that whole dynamic. Why hasn't anybody said that? Those who do, they keep them quiet. And they keep them quiet because literally, if you had a receipt, you could always come together with your receipts to see if the county's voting process is being as true as it says it is. Because they always say, oh, so-and-so got so many votes, but you don't know. And if they had a vote recount, and they should have got this out of the Florida scenario several years ago, there's no way to check your vote. You have to go off what that machine says.
Yeah, that happened to us in North Carolina, Brother Davis, using electronic voting machines. I actually contacted experts. This is back in 2000 and, talked to people. But we have paper ballots here in Gaston County now to where you fill out the paper and, you know what I'm saying, and you sign it. So there is a paper trail there. I heard the best country, y'all hear Venezuela in the news for quote-unquote fair elections, is because when you vote in Venezuela, it's using your thumbprint, and it give you a printout just like you would get from the ATM, because the same companies make them, the ATMs and stuff, that touch screen. So that happened in North Carolina, man. I saw my vote flip for George Bush, if I'm remembering correctly, but that happened. Beverly, I can't remember, but blackboxvoting.org was an organization that was really exposing that. And I forget the woman's last name, Beverly something, who started that, an attorney. But yeah, we have paper ballots here. And see, again, all of this stuff, it may be behind closed doors, but it's like closed auditorium doors, and they're public meetings where people can go and participate and have a say in there. So after 2000 in North Carolina, and it wasn't just our county, it was a couple of other counties, identified that problem and solved it with a paper ballot.
Okay, now see, that's what I mean about there being a solution. Although it may not have taken hold in every county, one of the things that you could say is, I get a receipt for every time I vote. I know exactly who I voted for, and it's on my receipt. 99.95% of America cannot do that. Why? Because it makes people accountable. You see, we live in a time where deception is truth, and truth is deception. And it's not because it's in reverse. It's because that is how they're running the program. And if we don't take the time to get involved, like the sister did that you just talked about, to initiate that to happen in Gaston County, that needs to be happening all over the country. We have the technology.
No,
there's no
Brother Davis,
why
she wasn't here in North Carolina. She did this nationally. She was pointing it out nationally. Everything it was all electronic voting is how they say the Electoral College, but the Supreme Court decided it. A lot of them votes was flipped on machines. Bush versus Gore. Yeah, that. So she was doing it nationally, but no, it ain't just here in Gaston County. I misspoke. It's North Carolina. All the voting districts is under the state, and it has to be uniform, and we all have to be using the same thing to vote. So in North Carolina, it's just like when you take a test. I don't know if people ever have taken tests where then you put it in the machine and it read it. You got to use the number 2 pencil. So that's what all voting machines, that's how we vote in North Carolina. But it was because of the electronic voting machine, because they spend a lot of money, man. But, for those machines, and then you know, for them to flip votes like that and all these reports of vote flipping and what have you, and they're hackable because you could hack into them. You know, it happened in 2000, but I don't know, remember all the details, but it was vulnerable to hacking as well, and you could change it. And so, but you can't do that. You can't do that with paper ballots, with a number two pencil.
Absolutely. And in this technological age, anything can be hacked. Matter of fact, I was talking to a friend of mine who does some unscrupulous things from time to time. He said, you can't trust technology on any level, because anybody that designs something for you to go into a front door puts a back door so they can get in. Now, I thought that was kind of bizarre until I began to really dig into what he was saying. And most of this design and all this technology you see, there's a back door to all of this. And right now in the United States, when it comes to technology or technological firms like Microsoft, like Google, these places all have a back door, and the government has free way. They go and come wherever they want to. And the sad part about it is now they got these smart devices connected to it. And they want you to think it's for your convenience. Oh, yeah, they really do. They want you to say, what's the Cortana? Start my car. And the car, the device communicates with the car, and the car starts. It seems like it's so delightful. Well, it's not. It's just another way to keep a thumb on your coattails, period. And that thumb on your coattails only so that they could reach out and grab you. The sad part about it is that people go out and buy this stuff. Ooh, 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 look what I could do, look what I could do. And they fail to realize, look what it's doing to you. It's a whole different ball game. It's not the night. We used to be able to, like Scotty said, trust your brothers and sisters. Leave your doors open. You can't do that now.
I found the information of blackboxvoting.org. They are still active. It was founded in 2003, again, right after the 2000 election. It's a nonpartisan investigative reporting and public education organization for elections. And, I mean, they use volunteers. Anybody could. I could volunteer and go be a poll watcher and whatnot, or you know. So, yeah, she's still, you know, running the organization. She got a lot of help now. They probably big now. But blackboxvoting.org, they still up.
Excellent. I see everybody who has a pen and piece of paper should have got that information just so that you can have. So if you do get in a meeting and this copy comes up, there is a solution. Because a lot of people think, oh, well, let them go. It's just the government. They do it. No, it's not the government. The government, the way we that was around when we were coming up, is entirely different from the government that's in play today. I mean, how many of you ever seen a president like Donald Trump? This guy is more scandalous than anything else. But yet he's running one of the most powerful war machines in the world. And the sad part about it is that he can go to war. People fail to realize that we have to make a participating attempt. And understand how I said that. A participating attempt. Even if we fail, we can learn from what we did to fail, and then revise what we're doing so that we can achieve success, because that is the ultimate goal we're trying to achieve. Listen, we're coming up on a break right now, so give us a call after the break. Be by your phones, ask your questions, and most of all, just bring some content to the dialogue. It's Brother Davis on A Wise Thursday.
Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, we're back. Now, I'm going to tell you, that was a great exchange. For those people who did get the information, you have a tool now that you could use to your advantage. And we all need tools. Because guess what? We're being attacked on a multiplicity of levels. I'm talking about the education of our children now. And I'm going to tell you something. Literally, I'm giving serious thought to homeschooling my grandchildren. Do I have a way of doing it right now? No. But it doesn't stop me from thinking, how am I going to prepare them to be the best they can be in reference to who they are and grow in a manner in which could serve them first before they go out here and start serving their community or anything else? Because literally, we're talking about the self-image of a child. You've heard me talk before about people preparing every day and going to the work and putting on a persona in order to go to a job that they may or may not like, but to fit in. Well, these are the changes that the choices our children are going to have to make. But here's what's so unique about them. They don't have to do what we did. There are people out here now making millions of dollars doing exactly what they want to do. And they don't even have a lot of education. They had an idea and a know-how. We were taught when we were coming up, go to school, get an education, and find a good job. No. Now, I don't believe that working for somebody is going to be the solution. I believe that if you go to school and you get an education, fine-tune that education so you can start a business, a corporation. And I know a lot of people are sitting back saying, well, that seems lofty. It's not. Believe me, there are 14 and 15-year-olders right now that got corporations. I don't know if you heard about the young lady who got a lemonade or something sold in Walmart. Do you realize that she had to establish herself as an LLC? Yes. And guess what? She probably didn't do it by herself, but her recipe is at the forefront. And whoever was behind her to help her make the decisions are sitting back now saying, you know what? We can do this again and again and again. We have to duplicate success. There's no option here. And I'm telling you something. If we don't do it, we're going to be forced into circumstances that we have no control over. Sidebar. When my family and I started this farm venture, okay? We did not know the magnitude of these and bee products on the market. Last year, we had two hives. We did very well. This year, we're looking at 7 or 8. I was just telling you something. Now, I wanted to throw that in there because we don't know right now what the tool is we're going to use. But we do know this, that unless we expand from where we are allowing ourselves to be victimized because of the lack of participation, the lack of wanting to know, the lack of seeking the ability or the power to make change. And guess what? When we get out of lack, we move into struggle. And when you move into struggle, that doesn't mean that it's failure. Because see, I've learned at an early age that if you track your failures and find out what those things were that you did that were not as functional as you would like them to be, you could literally redesign that attempt and change your failure into success. So this is the purpose that we really need to focus on when it comes to our children. When we think of things like Scotty just told us about the organization, who allows you to come in and volunteer and as well as learn and grow and get the materials you need to take that back to your community. We need to be doing that. There's a lot of people who think that life is just going to stay normal. It is not. It is not. Okay. And I'm going to tell you something. Yes, brother. Yeah, give your name and where you're calling from.
Peace. I'm sorry. I said Brother Dave. I'm Brother Davis. Peace and love. How you doing? This is Ross.
Peace, Brother Rod. Please add to the show.
Yes, sir. Great show. Peace to Scotty as well, and other callers and listeners. One thing that you said made me go back to something that I discussed many years ago, maybe like, geez, it has to be maybe a couple decades ago, but it just, you sparked it in my head. All of the things that these people, the colonizers, are presenting as technology and advancement is all designed to make us stupid to the point where they can spoon feed us what they want us to do, spoon feed us where they want us to go, and then we as sheep will blindly follow. Now, what I mean when I say that is this. When our ancestors created all the great things they created, they never dumbed down the society. The society was always functioning on an extremely high level until it started degenerating. The technology that these people are creating now is designed to degenerate us. Now, let's go back to the calculator. Once the calculator was invented, people no longer knew how to do math. They got so used to just pushing a few buttons, getting an instant answer, they never knew the process to how that answer was arrived at. You go to all of this technology with the self-driving car. I said this like last year on Tando. There's going to be a time when nobody's going to know how to drive because everyone's going to be forced to be in these self-driving cars. So what it is it's taking away your autonomy. We once knew how to farm the land. Now we've been trained to go to a grocery store to get everything we want. So now that the society is about to collapse, no one knows how to do what we used to know how to do. So what do? They tell us go to the FEMA camps. Most of the sheep will go there and end up enslaved.
I have a question for Ross.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Ross, greetings to you. How are you today?
Peace and love. Hey, yeah. Man, fighting behind these enemy lines, man. That's one of the truest statements I've ever heard in my life, and I thank you for coining it. Go ahead, good brother. How are you?
I'm doing the best I can.
Yes, sir.
So when we say technology is taking this, that, and the other from us, being that the enemy has made all his gains through technology and got in a dominant position, I mean, the gun was technology. Mm-hmm. He perfected it more than anyone else. Weapons of mass
Absolutely.
Destruction, he perfected them more than anyone else. Everybody else playing catch up, although, you know, China may have caught them, and that's why they don't encroach on China. So when your enemy is using this technology, I don't mm-hmm. feel like we have any other choice. What we have to do is guard ourselves like we should be guarding against anything that comes into our eye gates and our ear gates. Because, like I was thinking earlier today, what are these raft beefs designed to do? And how are they injecting it into our psyche using technology, using music,
Absolutely.
Using vibrations? They take that negative energy of me making a diss record, means I'm getting ready to disrespect somebody, and I have mm-hmm. that negative energy as I'm disrespecting this person. It's being recorded digitally. Mm-hmm. They used to put it on wax. And then I put a beat, a vibration to that, to where it sounds good, and I'm allowing this energy, this beat, this vibe, laced with this poison into my system. So we have to always be on guard against everything.
Absolutely.
You know, that's just spiritual. But just consider, though, it's only because of my adaptation of technology is that Black Talk Radio Network even exists, and we have this independent voice reaching millions around the globe at any given
Without
time.
Without question.
So
I'm not saying
so
that technology is bad. What I'm saying is the way that they set it up for the public to use it, it's parasitic and vampiric. When what you did with technology was you took our ability to communicate to a higher level because of the fact that they destroyed all the brick and mortar black radio stations across the country. When white people perfected the gun, they perfected it in order to make them better hunters of men. When our ancestors used guns, we used it for hunting and for protection against those
colonizers.
Yeah,
our ancestors didn't have any guns. I'm sorry. They didn't have any guns. The only black folks that had guns in Africa or anywhere is the ones that was wearing the oppressor's uniform.
No
disrespect to the
Moors. When we acquired the gun was used for specific purposes in regards to going out hunting, you know, with your .22 rifle or whatever the case may be. When what I'm saying is, when these people create things, their machinations are about control. It's about the whole process of controlling everything. Because even when you go to,
and they're using these weapons, they're using this technology. So I guess my question is, how do you defend yourself against that, since history has shown people who don't possess the technology to defend themselves against technology are usually wiped out?
Absolutely. I think what it is that we need to do things similar to what you've done. You know, we research and scientifically research and vet the technology and develop ways that we can use it advantageously for our purposes. And so you were able to take the internet and the system that you created to propagate this radio, create this radio station and propagate the propaganda that you wanted us to have access to, excuse me, as victims of this system. So you were able to take that technology and not use it to subjugate other people, but to help facilitate their ability to understand what they're dealing with, solutions on about aspects of the system and how we can better counter it and better survive and function in it in ways that are conducive to our ability to survive in the system.
Yeah, I get that, Ross. I get that. And I want to turn it back over to Brother Davis, but is it that my last question to be, is it the technology or is it the people that's using it? Is it the technology itself? I mean, that's the argument against the gun. Well, that gun didn't pick itself up and go shoot nobody. You know what I'm saying? It's still a weapon I could use or a tool I could use to defend myself or hunt, as you mentioned. But we got people want to get rid of technology. Well, other people got that technology. So how, if I don't have that same technology, how can I do something as simple as save my family by keeping some plan from burning us all to death by setting the house on fire and shooting at us when we come out, if we try to run out? So that's what I'm saying. Is it the technology that's bad, or is
it
the people?
It's the creators of the technology. You have artificial intelligence that practices racism because the people who created it practice racism. You have technology that is parasitic because the people who created it are parasitic. So it's not the technology itself. It's who created it and how it's being utilized. And it's also what we view as technology. When you look at the Ashango bone that they found in Africa that dated back to like 25,000 BC, it was what they termed a primitive calculator, but it was used to make mathematical calculations. But because it doesn't have wires in it and you don't press buttons, it was considered primitive. Or even today, I was posting online about dimensions. And that quantum physics understands that there are 11 dimensions. The Dogon and the Kama'u from ancient Egypt knew about this for thousands and thousands of years, but had no discernible technology. So their ability to understand these things came from their spiritual practice, and that practice was technology. We're just not taught to view it as technology. We're taught to view it as some old relic from back in the days, or some, you know, this defunct spiritual practice. When in reality, it was technology, because these modern scientists are recently discovering stuff that we've known forever. So it's also what we term technology. Do you know that some of the simplest things that seem like they're not worth anything can be technology? It's just all about perception, and the most important thing is who created it, what was their purpose for creating it, and if you choose to utilize it. If there's an aspect of your life where you're losing intelligence, because remember that intelligence is bred by going through struggle. Struggle breeds genius because you have to think your way through solving problems. So if you take a problem away, you're going to degenerate if you're not practicing those things. So even if you have a calculator, you should still be doing math on paper so you know how the calculator arrived at that particular answer, because if the calculator doesn't work, you're done. And that's what I mean. It's just more about understanding that our educational system has been pigeonholed. It's no different than this situation with the children being taught about, you know, anal sex and oral sex and all this stuff. And it's okay because the government said it's okay for the school to now teach your children that. But you can get your, back in the days, your kids could have been taken from you just if they saw you having sex in the house and happened to go to school and talk about it. And then the teacher hears, and, oh, you abused your child. We're taking them from you.
Ross.
But now, because Uncle Sam says, we're going to teach you about this because the society is going in this direction, it's legal, it's fine, and your children will be great. Just let them learn about all this anti-sexual stuff, and it's normal.
Hey, Ross, on the calculator, though, and Brother Davis, please, you know, jump in, man. But you have to know the equation to put it in the calculator. Is that not correct? If I don't know the difference between a plus and a minus. And then we had these calculators. I remember my first calculator in high school, Texas Instrument, and it had so many functions on it that I didn't know what they mean, but it was the same symbols and equations that's used. If you're going to write it on paper, it's just on a button. So I guess I'm in disagreement, because you do have to know how to write out the or I guess on a calculator tap out, hit the right symbols to come to the right answer.
Oh yeah, but I would take it even away from the calculator. Let's just go to the cash register, and this has happened to me many times in my life, where I go to the store, the cash register is not working, and the person who's at the cash register, I have to tell them my change. Because they're so used to just punching in numbers, and you hit a plus or a minus, and the machine just spits out a number at you, that the moment that that cash register's down and you have to calculate in your head, they're either counting on their fingers or they're going through, they're writing it down on paper, they're doing anything, and some of them just can't do it.
And your children should know how to do that before you go to school, though.
That you don't know the mechanics of things anymore, and it's harder to put things together in a more cohesive manner.
If your child doesn't know simple plus and minus before they even go to school, then you are not doing your job. Because when you mention fingers and toes and all of that, that is how I taught my children. That's how we taught our grandchildren, and still use it to reinforce. He asking me the other day, and I'm like, fingers. You know, do the finger thing, remind him. He won't just ask me for the question. But, you know, using the calculator, if your life depend on you getting these calculations faster than your opponent, I'll use the calculator as opposed to counting some beads on a...
Brothers, can I add?
Yeah.
Even with a calculator, it's a fundamental thing. When you come to technology, the public doesn't get the technology until it's been totally tested as a weapon. Nothing, and I repeat, nothing in the technological field that comes to the public has not been checked, rechecked, and thoroughly checked to make sure it cannot be used as a weapon, because the colonizers live in a state of fear. Why? Because you cannot run a society based on tyranny and expect it to last forever.
Brother Davis, one important point. Because when we say the enemy and the oppressor invented this technology, this computer I'm using to do everything we're doing so that people around the world can hear what we're hearing through the internet, a black man invented the modern-day computer, the laptop. A black man did that. As far as the white man got was these big old machines you see in old movies that take up the entire room. That was the computer. And it was a black man who got a job in the 70s, I believe, in corporate IBM might have been. He invented that. So that came from a black man. Computing and these computers, this technology came from the mind of a black man. So is it still, I take you back again, is it the technology or is it the people using it? If I know it's being used as, can be used as a weapon, don't you think I ought to master that weapon too?
Absolutely.
Let me add this. That's the whole concept with taking on and growing beyond. Okay, taking on means taking on someone else's idea and then to incorporate growing beyond the initial idea to build on it. When they took that, they're serving their purposes at that point. He might have had the most genuine concept in the world of opening the door for other people to have the freedom to tap into technology that they would not, or information that they would never have advanced to if it wasn't for this creation.
But once this creation is incorporated on a level of trying to multiplicitize it, then at that point is being also incorporated into multiplicity to the advantage and to the multiplicity to the disadvantage. And believe me, they do that with everything. Okay, I just wanted to add that.
Okay, I just wanted to chime in because what both of you said is really powerful. And what the reason why they never vet the technology before they release it is, like you said, they weaponize it first. Once they figure that out, then they de-weaponize it so they can release it to the public with total control over how it functions in the hands of the public versus how it functioned in the military. Now, that also sets the precedent of the Hegelian dialectic. Because you create the technology can be used for all kinds of horrible things, but you never stop it from doing that. You put it out raw. People start doing that, then they come out and say, it's a problem, we have to fix it. And that's, matter of fact, I posted an article about Apple today. They're creating, I believe it's an app that helps people get over their technology addiction. And that's the whole thing that they're moving in the direction now of getting people to use their phones less. Now, this is one of the companies that are the major origins of the problems we're dealing with the computer and the internet and all of these things. And when they were making money hand over fist, they're about to be the richest company on the planet, the first company to cross $1 trillion. I just saw this actually yesterday morning on the news, and that Amazon is second to them. They're at 700-something million. Talking about Amazon. Apple is at 900-something million, billion dollars, and Amazon is at 700-something billion dollars. But Apple's going to hit $1 trillion. So when they were making all that money to get them to this point where they're about to be the first company to cross $1 trillion value in human history, they didn't care about all the things that they were doing to destroy people. Now that it's become a major issue, people, you know, are addicted to this stuff, and there's scientific evidence that these people created this technology to specifically be addictive. Now all of a sudden, we're going to give you the fix. We're going to get you off your addiction. We're going to now get you to put your phone down. And that's why they do this stuff with this technology, is so that they can provide that further Hegelian dialectic to take us deeper down the psychological rabbit hole of their control over our daily behaviors, our daily thought patterns, speech, and action. That's all I wanted to say. Brothers, brilliant conversation. Thank you, and I'll mute myself.
Excellent, man. Excellent content. But you know what I'm going to tell you, and I want to leave you with this here. Don't think for 1 minute that there is not some technology that's good. And it might have been purposeful in the very beginning, but the people who have control on the mass production of it have a plan altogether different. And believe me, I was going to do a show entirely different from this until I went to this education last night, but the show I was going to do is based on the psychology and the psychological warfare that is going on us on a daily basis. Even how the perfect example is the NFL. Colin Kaepernick takes a knee. He tells the world, I'm taking this knee because I want to bring attention to the police shooting of black people. They changed the whole narrative. Oh no, this is about patriotism. How can you say it's about patriotism when the man's telling you what it's about? But that is a psychological power play. There's a name for it, and they know what they're doing. And so all of a sudden, they put all of their media issue on this so-called patriotism. It had nothing to do with patriotism. But they had to change the narrative so you don't focus on the truth. When you focus on the truth, you get what is called sympathetic sympathizers. And a lot of those sympathetic sympathizers would look like those colonizers. And they don't want that to be even a consideration. And that's why they put this label on it, and every channel runs with it. It still has nothing to do with why Kaepernick took a knee. But it has everything to do with why the NFL leaked watching this year. Like last year and the last two years, I will not watch one NFL game. Because when you consider what they're doing and how they're doing it, and I'm going to bring that next week's show, I got the content. I'm going to be giving it to you straight on several levels. The psychological warfare that's being placed against people of color. So look for that next week, y'all. But in reference to today's show, don't think for 1 minute that these so-called smart devices are there in order to enhance your life. They're in there to literally cripple you in one way or another. Why? Because it's giving you the right to do nothing. Think about that. Are we coming up on a break right now, Scotty? Because it's sold, and let's take it and listen. We're coming into the last segment, y'all. So do pick up your phones, add to the show. The call that we just got was a great call. You see how the content that he gave not only built on what we were talking about, but took us into other levels so that you could look around your house and say, because guess what? You may not know this, but those smart devices got back doors. So who's listening to whom? This is Brother Davis on a Wise Thursday. And we're coming up on a break, and we'll be right back.
Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
We're back. We're in the last segment, y'all. And listen, I really want you to understand the most important thing I'm trying to convey to you is that our children are being indoctrinated. And we can do something, but we're not going to be accomplishing it all by ourselves. We have other children in the same situation. So other parents who may or may not be thinking in terms of what you are, you guys need to be having these open discussions. You guys need to be looking at the elections in your community. You need to be going out and tapping into who is having those meetings of the candidates and what organizations are there. And is the organization is there representing your interests? And if so, or if so, you can become involved of it. If not, then you can start getting like-minded people together and say, listen, we need to go to this here group and ask our questions because they are pertinent and we're taxpayers. And we owe this to our children, if nothing else, because here's the catch-22, y'all. Your children are going to do what you do. You are their example. And the best part about a good example is that it becomes repetitious. Because if you follow a positive example, and then if someone sees you and they follow you, then they're following a positive example. And this gets repetitious. These are the things we need to do in our community, because I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nobody going to save us but us. And we have so many things that are going on right now within our community that's tearing us apart. It's not our doing. I know this sounds strange to you, but a lot of it is not our doing. We have become victimized by a circle of psychotic people who literally think they have a right to rule over your life because they have money. That's it. They think because of all the technological changes that has come down the pike that they have been a part of, that they have the authority to be able to decide for you. They don't. But if you do nothing, they will. The whole premise of love is action. We got to take action to save ourselves, because no one's going to do it for us. Is there someone in queue?
Yes.
And oh, well, well, well. Can you give your name and where you're calling from, please?
Well, this is Erica Davis, part of the Davis team, and I'm at Pennsylvania right now. But I wanted to add, you were talking about the children, and I wanted to add that, you know, we went to our granddaughter's elementary fifth grade graduation. So that means she's going to sixth grade, which in her school district will be middle school. And, you know, if you sit down and talk with these young people, they'll tell you a thing or two. And one of the things we talked about yesterday was this core math, this new math that's called core, and how confusing it is to the children. Most of the teachers are confused because if they come up with the same answer, let's say 2 + 2 = 4, you cannot put 4 on a piece of paper. You have to do this process of core math of 10s, 20s, you know, taking the 10s and the 10 columns with 1s and the 1s column, and make a little box with a graph and little boxes. And you go through like 20 steps to say 2 + 2 = 4. And if you don't go through these 20 steps in this, on your test, so to speak, and you just put the number down, it's considered wrong. And kids are starting to really have a meltdown about this, especially young children that, like, for example, our older granddaughter is 13, so she's going into the ninth grade. So she learns early math, the same kind of math that most of us that are on this phone call has learned. So has the 11-year-old. They both learned standard math in the beginning. But all of a sudden, a couple years ago, they inputted this core math to teach them a different way to get the same answer. Now, like I said, the teachers are having a problem, the adults, the parents at home can't understand how to do it, and the children are at their wit's end, because if they don't do it in the correct sequence, they get the question wrong, even though they know the answer. Now, I was speaking to my dad about it today, who is a somewhat educator, and he researched it a little bit later, and he said, oh, they came up with CORE as a to teach the children critical thinking. And I said, he sent me a text, and I sent him back a text that said, yeah, I understand that, but we learned critical thinking that was not core as children in our, you know, age group. We learned critical thinking without this madness. And what, just like you said, honey, about, you know, they're trying to take control over, you know, what you think and how you do, this is a prime example of using the basic critical thinking skills, throwing them out the window, getting a complicated critical thinking and trying to make that a skill, which mostly our young people are probably not going to learn it fast enough to satisfy the educational community, because they're, most of the kids are getting low grades in math based on the way they want them to do a process and not coming up with the answer. And it's really appalling, and these children are really upset. Now, as far as critical thinking, one of the reasons that a lot of these young children in elementary and in high school and middle school can't do regular critical thinking is because the classrooms are a madhouse. You have little Johnny over here that won't sit down. You got little Bobby over here who talks back to the teacher. You got another kid that's bullied. You know, the bully who uses, you know, his muscles to make everybody, you know, sit down, or pushes them or pulls their hair or does whatever. So the teacher has such a hard time teaching that the critical thinkers are falling through the cracks. Then on top of that, they have cell phones in the rooms. And I asked our grandchildren, I said, well, because one time I asked my granddaughter a question. She said, oh, well, just text me tomorrow. I said, well, you're going to be at school tomorrow. Oh, that's okay. We can get a text. How can you get a text at school, phone beeping, buzzing, or vibrating or whatever. She said, oh, no, everybody gets tested at school. So how are you going to be engaged in educational subject, your phone go off, and you're texting someone, even if you say, oh, it's not a good time, or I'll text you back, you're still taking your mind off the critical thinking of the subject that you were learning.
Sister Davis.
So just like you said, they're using this crazy way of doing things to just totally distort our young people.
Sister Davis, thank you for describing it in such detail, because actually I have come across that. Now, we haven't seen a lot of it, but he did have some worksheets with that core on it, with the groupings. It'll have like little balls or circles in a group, and that's exactly what you just described. And I didn't know it was to teach critical thinking, so it is probably prevalent here. It is probably part of North Carolina curriculum. But thank you for describing it in the way that you did, because I think that paints a clear picture of what we're talking about here. But let me see. Also, we don't have BIB radio coming on tonight. Just wanted to make a quick announcement. CC's traveling, and so we're just going to shut it down. Check them out. They got the podcast on blacktalkradionetwork.com. Brother Davis?
Yes. Listen, Erica, since you're on the phone, let me ask you this here. Was there any situation they talked about in which this critical core math would be applicable for them to use?
No, our granddaughter that was 13 years old, she said, I do not quite understand where we'll ever be able to implement core math. Just like when we were growing up, we would say to our parents, we don't go nowhere and walk around doing algebra. You know, we don't see that X equals Y, M equals 2 to the 4th power. We don't see that in our day-to-day. Because, you know, we used to always say that. Why we got to learn algebra? Because we don't use it. Now, geometry you do use. Because even girls that braid hair, man, they got some serious geometry and them tracks going on. But that's another subject. But as far as core math, you know, because my dad, when my dad were talking about it, he researched it. Why are they implementing core into the curriculum? And their understanding is a reasonable reason to do it is to implement critical thinking. And we are critical thinkers, us in our age group that's pretty much on this phone. We all got to where we are today by critically thinking, by looking at a situation, finding a common maybe denominator in a situation, not necessarily math, but a common denominator of why we're doing a certain thing a certain way. We thought it out. We read the process. If it's directions, we read the directions. That's what process thinking does. That's what critical thinking does. It comes with a situation, a conclusion, a hypothesis. You know, that's what we learn to come out with the group of what critical thinking is. And we do it every day because we put our mind to a subject. But see, they got to teach the children critical thinking, because like I heard, you know, like you all were talking about the calculators that do it for them, the computers that do it for them. Now we have a remote that you can just say, I want to see horror movies, and all the horror movies come up. Or you have a remote that says Oz. You can just say the word Oz into the remote, and it'll come up with everything that says Oz, whether or not it's the movie Wizard of Oz or Dr. Oz or Back to Oz, and it gives you all the subject matter. So you don't have to critically think by taking the remote and figuring it out, or having to go to a TV guide and read it like we did. Everything is thinking for us. So now they realize they're starting to create entities that do not critically think. So now they said, oh, we got to figure this out. Let's throw something into the ball. Let's throw a ball into a court that says, let's critically think on this new math core. So you have instructors, teachers that have to, after school, go to a seminar to teach them core math so that they can come back to school and teach it to the kids, because they're critical thinkers. They're not core math thinkers. And these teachers are struggling. The kids come up to them and they're like, is it like the example? And the kids are like, no, it's not like the example. And they're like, oh, I don't know. You know, I don't know how, you know, they got to scratch their head. But they're implementing this core thing because they're taking critical thinking out. Now, I just want to do one more example because of the madness that is going on in a lot of our schools. Look at all of the shootings. Now you get kids in a room that you legally, in these kids' classrooms, you could be sent to the principal's office if you say the word shoot or shooting. If you talk about it, because they don't know if you're saying, I'm going to shoot someone, or someone got shot last night, or there's been a shooting across campus, or whatever. So you're not even, you're taboo to even say the S word. These kids are sitting at the edge of their seats. These kids are sitting at the edge of their seats, wondering where the next school shooting is. But you're going to make the kids critically think on something. You know, these kids are so edgy; they don't know from day to day. If they got to hide under the table, if they got to go stand in a room and in the bathroom, they don't know what they can do. Because all the kids are edgy. You got these kids that are, you know, I'm not just saying ADHD, but you got kids that are disruly, you know, they're coming in with all kind of issues. They have, you know, same sex in second and third and fourth grade. You know, kids are hanging together. Now, you see two girls together, you think they're friends, but now they're lovers. And they're just 10, 11 years old. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Davis, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, as a concerned parent, what do you think is the direction in which we literally need to go in order to be able to find a way to be able to combat this?
The only way is that you basically have to pull your child out of school and teach them yourself. But then that means you're going to take a two-household family that should be working because gas is high and food is high and health care is high, and you're going to have to do a lot of sacrificing to keep one parent home so that they can do homeschooling for their children. You're going to have to seriously make a sacrifice, or grandparents or aunties or uncles. Somebody's going to have to be home with that child and teach them, because even our young granddaughter, the 11-year-old that just graduated earlier this about a month ago, she was having her little meltdown asking if we, as me and you, could homeschool her next year. And I asked her why, and she says, Nana, I cannot think at school. There is so much going on, I feel as though I am not learning. And this is a very smart child. And she is learning, but she feels as though she's not learning to the degree that she wants to. Maybe based on something she sees on TV or YouTube or something about other kids, you know, educationally going ahead. And it's sad. And they go to it. They have a decent school district. This isn't, it's the inner city school district, but it's not the inner city school district. It's a little suburb. So they do have a better, you know, network. And the ones that are inner city, it's just ridiculous. One more example are the bullies. We have a 7-year-old grandson. They got suspended. The last couple of days of school, he didn't get the thrill of having the last days because he got suspended because this bully that had been pushing and shoving and calling him names all year, the teacher knows he's a bully, the administration knows he's a bully. Well, our grandson got sick of it the other day and hit him, and they started fighting. He didn't hit him, but they started fighting. And then they suspended both kids. They know the one child's a bully. They know our grandson's not the bully. But then they both got suspended. That's how that's their reasonable critical thinking of these kids. Oh, let's just suspend them both. And then what does that do to the bully? That gives the bully power.
Absolutely. Is there anything you want to say in conclusion?
In conclusion, you know, we as parents and grandparents and educators and people who are using the village concept, you know, it takes a village to raise a child or a family. We are going to have to really buckle down, and we're going to have to really take our wants and our needs and separate them, because you can't do both. You're going to have the wants that you want your family to grow to go forward in education and job and whatever you want, and you're going to have to separate that from the things that are not necessary, because you can't do both. We have to teach our children individually, spiritually, mindfully. And it's going to be very difficult in the next years to come. It's something we're really going to have to buckle down and maybe some other parents that maybe are listening to the show, or maybe we have a, maybe once a month we dedicate, you know, a week of a show, because it takes a couple of days to actually talk about it. Maybe 1 week a month, maybe we dedicate it to some people who are doing homeschool, some kid parents who are doing meditation or different aids that are helping their children, maybe on the holistic angle as far as the foods and maybe medications and things that kids are doing. Let's look at that component. And we need to come together and we need to see what works and what isn't working. And no matter what society is doing, us on this call, our little circle of our network here, need to understand what's going on. Because it is a serious, if we want a next generation, we are going to have to seriously input it in this one. Or we're not going to have it. That's my conclusion.
I'd like to thank you for your contribution, my darling. And
you're
for
welcome.
Those of you who don't know, this is my wife who is on the phone, and I'm very honored that she has called, because she's conveyed my issue in a much plainer sight. But this is not just our issue. This is the issue of our children. And my main concern with this show was to shine a light on it, because, see, a lot of times things will be happening all around us, but since it's not happening directly to us, we don't clearly see what the problem is. But the problem is there. And the most important part is the role that you play in being able to be able to get with other people and say, you know, this is what my child is talking about. What is your child talking about? Do they have the same concepts? And is this happening at your school? This is what opens the doors for us to bring change in. Because a lot of times, a lot of people don't see it. Who can make a difference about it? Just being a part of the whole adds volume to the voice. This is Brother Davis. We're on a Wise Wednesday. We're coming up, a Wise Thursday. My system is out of whack. We have so many things going on right now. I want to give my blessing to all those who've taken the time to listen to the show tonight. I pray that literally it was a tool that you can use in the war that we are engaged in. And not only saving ourselves and our people, but to make sure that we save our children. I want to thank Scotty and Brother Dave and Brother Roz and all those who called in, and my wife included, because literally they add content from different perspectives, so you won't think that we're coming from one area alone. The most important perspective is yours, and all we ask is that you show a little love to that perspective by taking action, because action is love. And if you think that you're going to be up against something that may appear to be impossible, then look at yourself as a slayer of the impossible, and then slaying the impossible becomes possible. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Thursday. I thank you once again for joining us here at Tando Radio. If you've grown by this experience at all, please go online to Tando Radio. There's a big red button there. Help yourself and make as much offering as you like, and do it as often as you like. Because I'm going to tell you something, and this is very, very important. Nobody is giving you what you're getting here. And if it's serving you at all, all we're asking you to do is be a part of the growth process. We're not asking you to do anything out of the norm. But if you're going to go out here and you want to give resources away, and we do all the time, you have those TV, telephones, and this and that, and then you find out that only 10% of what was gained goes to the original idea. Well, let me tell you something. Everything we get here at Black Talk Radio goes into conveying the idealisms necessary for Black Talk Radio to function at its optimum for its our people. And that serves our purpose in our community. This is Brother Davis and Brother Scotty. I am out.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. slicing cake. We're slicing cake.